Welcome to Listen 2. This is Ted. The news was published on Wednesday, October 2nd. Today we're joined by Eric and Kate to discuss a fascinating new study on brain stem cells and aging. Today we're discussing a groundbreaking study on brain stem cells and aging. Let's start with the basics. Eric, what are neural stem cells and why are they important?
Well, Ted, neural stem cells are like the brain's own fountain of youth. They're these incredible little powerhouses that can transform into various types of brain cells. Think of them as the brain's own renovation crew, constantly patching things up and keeping our noggins in tip-top shape as we age. Without them, our brains would be like an old house with no maintenance. Things would start falling apart pretty quickly.
Hold your horses, Eric. That's painting a pretty rosy picture, don't you think? These cells are far
complex, but that doesn't negate their importance. The fact is, these cells play a crucial role in
But their role in adult humans is still hotly debated. We can't just gloss over that fact. Some studies show new neuron production in adults, while others come up empty-handed. It's not as cut and dried as Eric makes it sound.
Interesting points. Kate, can you elaborate on the controversy surrounding neural stem cells in adult humans?
Gladly, Ted. The scientific community is split on this issue. Some researchers swear they've found evidence of new neurons popping up in adult hippocampi. That's the brain's memory center. But here's the kicker. Others have tried to replicate these findings and come up empty-handed. It's like searching for Bigfoot. Some people swear they've seen it, but the proof is still out there.
I get where Kate's coming from, but let's not lose sight of the forest for the trees here. This particular study we're discussing today focuses on mice, where the picture is much clearer. We know for a fact that neural stem cells in mice can produce new neurons throughout their lives. It's like a little neuron factory that never shuts down.
Let's dive into the study itself. Eric, what was the main finding?
The researchers in this study used CRISPR gene editing, think of it as a genetic Swiss Army knife, to identify genes that affect neural stem cell aging. They hit the jackpot with a gene called SLC2A4. When they reduced the activity of this gene, it was like giving these old stem cells a shot of espresso. They perked right up and started acting young again. This gene regulates how stem cells consume glucose, which is basically cellular fuel.
Whoa, slow down there, cowboy. CRISPR might be a
It's a significant
tool, but
breakthrough, Kate. This study is a huge step forward
but
in
we can't ignore the ethical implications. CRISPR is powerful, sure, but it's also risky. We're talking about editing genes here, not fixing a typo in a Word document.
I understand your concerns, Kate, but we can't let fear hold back progress. This study is a game changer in understanding brain aging. The SLC2A4 gene they identified is like the gatekeeper for cellular energy. By figuring out how it works, we might be able to keep our brains young and spry well into old age.
Eric, you're getting way ahead of yourself. Mice brains are one thing, but human brains, that's a whole different ballgame. Our brains are infinitely more complex. It's like comparing a tricycle to a Ferrari. Sure, they both have wheels, but that's where the similarities end.
Both valid points. Eric, how might these findings impact future research on brain aging in humans?
Great question, Ted. This study is like finding a map to the fountain of youth, for our brains at least. By understanding how genes like SLC2A4 affect brain aging, we might be able to develop targeted therapies to keep our cognitive functions sharp as we age. Imagine being able to learn new skills or remember your grandkids' names just as easily at 80 as you did at 30. That's the kind of future this research could lead to.
Now hold on just a minute. That's a massive leap from a mouse study to human applications. We need decades more research before
we
can even think about it.
But Kate, this is how all major medical breakthroughs start. We can't discount the potential impact just because
it's early. We can't give false hope either. People suffering from neurodegenerative diseases deserve better than pie-in-the-sky promises based on preliminary mouse studies.
Let's put this study in historical context. Can you think of a similar breakthrough in neuroscience that changed our understanding of the brain?
Absolutely, Ted. The discovery of neuroplasticity in the 1960s and 70s was a real game changer. Before that, scientists thought the adult brain was as set as jello. Once it's formed, that's it. But neuroplasticity showed us that the brain is more like Play-Doh, constantly able to reshape and form new connections. It completely revolutionized our understanding of how the brain works and adapts.
While that's true, Eric, it's not really comparable to this study. Neuroplasticity is about existing neurons forming new connections, not creating entirely new neurons. It's like comparing apples and oranges. Both fruits, sure, but fundamentally different. We need to be careful about drawing false equivalencies here.
I see your point, Kate, but both discoveries challenge long-held beliefs about the brain's ability to change and regenerate. The discovery of neuroplasticity led to new treatments.
But that took decades of research. We can't expect this single study to have the same impact.
But it opens up similar possibilities for new treatments. We shouldn't underestimate its potential impact on neuroscience and medicine.
Interesting comparison. Kate, can you think of a more recent discovery that might be relevant?
Sure thing, Ted. The Human Connectome Project, launched in 2009, is a much better example. It's like Google Maps for the brain, mapping out all the neural highways and byways. This project is giving us unprecedented insight into how the brain functions on a large scale. It's not just about individual cells or genes, but about understanding the brain as a whole system.
I see where you're going with that, Kate, but let's not forget that the Connectome Project is a massive undertaking with a huge budget. This CRISPR study is much more targeted and could potentially lead to practical applications more quickly. It's like comparing a space shuttle mission to developing a new drug. Both are important, but they operate on different scales and time frames.
Eric, you're missing the forest for the trees here. The Connectome Project is providing a crucial foundation for understanding brain diseases. It's not just about quick results. It's about building a comprehensive understanding that will inform all future brain research. This CRISPR study is just one piece of a much larger puzzle.
Both examples show how technology drives neuroscience forward. How might CRISPR change the field in the coming years?
CRISPR is like a genetic Swiss Army knife, Ted. It could allow us to precisely modify genes in brain cells, potentially treating genetic brain disorders or even enhancing cognitive function. Imagine being able to edit out the risk of Alzheimer's or boost memory function. It's not science fiction anymore, and it's becoming a real possibility.
That's a dangerous path, Eric. We need to be extremely cautious about genetic modification, especially in the brain.
Benefits are enormous, Kate. We can't let fear stop us from exploring these possibilities. Think about all the people suffering.
We're talking about fundamentally altering human biology here. This isn't something to rush into without considering all the ethical implications.
Looking to the future, how do you see this research developing? Eric, what's your optimistic scenario?
I'm glad you asked, Ted. I envision a future where we can develop targeted therapies to rejuvenate neural stem cells in aging humans. Imagine being able to take a pill that keeps your brain as sharp at 80 as it was at 30. We could potentially slow or even reverse cognitive decline associated with aging. It's not just about living longer, but about maintaining our mental faculties and quality of life as we age.
Eric, that's wildly optimistic. We're nowhere near that level of understanding or capability. You're talking about it like it's a done deal, but we're still in the very early
stages. But
Kate,
this study is a crucial step in that direction. By understanding the genetic factors that control stem cell aging, we can develop interventions to maintain.
You're completely ignoring the potential risks. Manipulating stem cells could lead to uncontrolled cell growth or even cancer. We can't just rush headlong into this without considering the consequences.
That's all the time we have for today. Thanks to Eric and Kate for this lively discussion on the fascinating world of neural stem cells and aging. It's clear that while this research opens up exciting possibilities, there are still many questions to be answered and challenges to overcome. As always, science marches on, and we'll be here to keep you informed of the latest developments. This is Ted, signing off from Listen 2.